It's good to have everybody here. We've got a lot of visitors. You're an honored guest. I'm blessed to have my family. My kids are all here, and that's always a blessing. But it's even just as great a blessing to have the ability to be with my spiritual family today. I was telling Larry asked me what I was going to preach on, and I told him I'd been thinking about something for a while. And this is really a basic lesson, and it's part of a three-part series. We as Christians sometimes may have opportunities to talk to our friends who aren't Christians. And they may ask us a simple question. Why are you a Christian? That's what this series is going to be on. How to answer that question. Why am I a Christian? You know, there's the life of a Christian. The message of Jesus is a joyous message. And it's full of true happiness and contentment and a life that has many joys that go with it. And sometimes the basic question, answers to basic questions really is why we are a Christian. You know, why am I a Christian? Why have I decided to follow Jesus? I think it's a good question for us all to think about. So when we have those opportunities, we can be ready to give some really encouraging answers to our friends. So the first point this morning, why am I a Christian? I have a Father who created me and demonstrated His love for me by giving His only begotten Son. Brother Gary just mentioned that in his prayer. I have a Father in heaven who created me and gave His only begotten Son for me. Let's start in Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to refer to quite a few scriptures, so there should be a Bible nearby. If not, there's people that have Bibles that will share with you, so I want you to read something we say on our TV program all the time. We say, we want you to read the scriptures for yourself. Don't take what I say for granted. We want you to read what God is communicating to you. So I encourage you all to do that. And if by any chance you can't get to some of the verses, the notes are posted on our website. They're already posted there, actually. So you can go back and look at those if you'd like. But this point about a Father who created us. Verse 26 of Genesis 1. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth in the heavens. Here we have some references to our origin, the origin of man. God created us. He created us a special creation. We're different than the other animals. In verse 27, we were created in His own image. God created me and you in His own image. Let's look over to Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33, starting in verse 6. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. We have a Father in heaven who is just awesome. At His word, everything we know and see was created. And then, frankly, in just as a powerful demonstration of His love for us, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As I look into our audience here, I can see many that I know have a son or a daughter. Can you imagine giving them for someone else? Can you imagine that? That's what God did for us. He gave His only begotten Son for us. Let's look over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 9. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Notice in verse 9, John uses the term, the love of God was manifested toward us. And he actually refers to that in the first chapter as well. In verse chapter 1, verse 2, the life was manifested. What he's saying is, His love to us was manifested in Jesus. He sent Jesus to walk on the earth, to show us how to live, to show us how to please God, to give us the perfect example, give us a perfect Lamb of God to die for our sins. It wasn't just that Jesus died for us. He walked on this earth, and He taught us how to please God. And if we follow that example, we can be pleasing to God. I have a Father who created me and loved me and demonstrated His love for me by giving His only begotten Son. Why am I a Christian? I have a Savior who created me and all that I see. We just read in Genesis chapter 1, if you notice in verse 26, it says, let us. See, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we're all part of that. We see that recorded in John chapter 1. I have a Savior who created me and all that I see. He became a man. He endured as a man. He gave Himself for my sins. And now He's reigning in heaven. John chapter 1. Starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's that term that John was using. God's love was manifested toward the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 12 through 14. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints of marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and opened to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Seeing that then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Notice what it says about our Savior. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I have a Savior who endured this life perfectly for me. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Starting in verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. You see, each one of us has sinned. Each one of us has separated ourselves from God. But because of Jesus dying for us ungodly people, we have hope. We can be reconciled. And of course, that's the blessing of God giving His Son, but that's also the blessing of the Son being the perfect Savior for each one of us. Why am I a Christian? I have a Holy Spirit who created me, that I'm to be fulfilled, that I'm to be filled with, and helps me as I'm led by Him and follow Him. Remember in Genesis 1:26, it said, let us create everything. The Holy Spirit was there as well. He was there and part of that. Genesis 1:26 records that, and then we see in the New Testament many references to the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. We'll start there. And we are His witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We have a world full of people that claim the Holy Spirit is some mystical being that cannot be understood. The Ephesians were told to be filled with the Spirit. We can understand what He wants us to do. We can understand what He wants us to know and practice. And He's the one that made sure we had God's Word because of Him. Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. again, Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Why am I a Christian? I have a Holy Spirit that has given me God's Word to be filled with. And I need to let Him lead me, and I need to follow Him. So far, why am I a Christian? I have a Father in heaven, I have a Savior, and I have a Holy Spirit. Number four, why am I a Christian? We've been practicing this a number of times this morning. I can pray to God. I can pray to God. I have access to prayer. What would I do without being able to pray to God? I was telling Nate before we started about, he asked me how I was doing. I said, yeah, I'm doing all right. I didn't sleep that well last night. I woke up at 4 o'clock and I had a lot of things on my mind. And I've read a lot of things, how you get back to sleep and things. You know what the best thing for me has been? Is I pray to God. And then my spirit's calmed and I can get back to sleep. What a blessing. We can pray to God anywhere, at any time. And He's hearing us. Why am I a Christian? I can pray to God. Through prayer, I have a way to give thanks. Through prayer, I have a way to pray to God for others. And I pray for all of you. And a way to find strength and answers when I need it. Prayer is so great. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Notice the next phrase. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. All the things that God has done for me. And you know what? I can give Him thanks. I can thank Him. I can tell Him thank you. And I can tell Him thank you over and over and over again. And I'll never be able to give enough thanks. A blessing of a Christian, we can give thanks to God. Matthew chapter 7. In what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Starting in verse 7. Jesus gives us some insight to how God responds to prayers. Verse 7 of chapter 7 of Matthew. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? What a comfort to know we have a Father in heaven that we can ask for what we need. And we can be assured that He will give us exactly what we need. Sometimes we ask, and we ask for things that we don't need. Or sometimes we ask for something, and we don't quite know what we need. You know, when God answers our prayers, He knows what we need. He's ready and willing to do that. And that's what Jesus is teaching right here. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In verse 5. This verse is very powerful. If any of you lacks wisdom, have any of you ever had a time when you lacked wisdom? Right? How many times I lack wisdom? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What a blessing to be able to pray for wisdom, and God is going to provide that. Let's drop down to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. John is writing to Christians. John is writing to believers, those who have already become children of his through repenting and believing and confessing and being baptized. And what does he tell them in verse 9 of chapter 1 of 1 John? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing that is. What a blessing to be able to pray to God and be forgiven of sins. And with God, our sins are forgiven. And we don't have to fret about them anymore. What a blessing of prayer. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. A child of God, as he's walking with God, as he's keeping the commandments of God, has this assurance that God is going to provide us what we ask of Him. What a blessing again. The book of Hebrews refers to Jesus as our high priest. Let's look at a passage that kind of illustrates this. Hebrews chapter 10. Starting in verse 11. And really, this passage shows how much better our high priest is than the Israelite priest. Hebrews 10:11. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. We have a high priest, the best high priest there ever was. And in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, notice what it says about him. Hebrews 7, 25. Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Notice what it says about Jesus, our high priest. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. Why am I a Christian? I can pray to God through my great high priest, Jesus Christ. And I can get what I need. What a comfort, knowing we have access to God through the intercession of Jesus, the perfect high priest. Why am I a Christian? I have a life full of purpose. I have a life full of purpose. I'm to seek the kingdom of God first, the kingdom of heaven first. I'm to share the gospel with my fellow man. I'm to bring others to Christ, and I'm to be a proper light of Jesus. Let's look at some verses on this. We'll start in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I have a purpose. Christians have a purpose. If we seek the Lord first, we'll be provided the necessities, and each day He has things for us to do for Him. I have a purpose. You ever have a friend who doesn't know God and doesn't want to know God, and they spend their life trying to find purpose? They focus here, and then they focus here, they focus here, and they focus here. A Christian doesn't have that problem. We have purpose. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. The early Christians were persecuted, and they scattered from Jerusalem. And notice what it says they did. It says in Acts 8, verse 4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. We can do the same thing. We're expected to do the same thing. Notice Jude, the book of Jude, verses 22 and 23. Actually, let's start in verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit,
Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. Okay, so there's purpose there in those first two verses. Now let's see some more purpose. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by flesh. There's a lot of purpose that God has given His children. We don't have to wonder about our purpose in life. We're told about it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." And the last phrase to me is the most important part of this verse. "And glorify your Father in heaven." We're to let our light shine that it results in people glorifying God. Not building ourselves up. Letting our light shine so we glorify God. That's a great purpose. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Paul says, "For you were once darkness." Each one of us that is a Christian here this morning, we were once darkness. "But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Why am I a Christian? I have purpose. I have purpose given to me from God. And the last point I want to make this morning, and when I started looking at some stuff I had written in the past and things, there's so many reasons to be, you know, to tell people why we're a Christian. There's so many joys of a Christian we can share with people. So hopefully the next couple lessons will have some more things that we can think about. This is the last one this morning. Why am I a Christian? I have a personal relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Think about that. A Christian has a personal relationship with God. I mentioned before, my kids are here. All four of my kids are here. I enjoy a great personal relationship with all of them. This building is full of people, my spiritual family. And from the littlest to the oldest, I appreciate the personal relationship I have with you all. I got a couple examples I want to share. Last summer, I had the blessing of meeting Sarah and Beth and their kids at the zoo. And I thought, okay, I go over to the zoo once in a while in the summer to walk. And I thought, okay, I'll say hello to them and that'll be nice and I'll get to see them. So I went for my walk and then I found them. They were sitting out having lunch at some picnic tables. It may not seem like a big deal to everybody there. And Gary and Maureen, you were there too. I sat down, and next thing you know, I've got a whole lunch laid out in front of me, sharing lunch with these beautiful children. What a blessing to have that personal relationship we have in Christ. I have another example. You all know I've had trouble with my knee. And many of you told me, you've been praying for me. I'm going to tell you something you probably don't believe. Some of you. I've been playing in a basketball league with Daniel in Georgia. I've been able to go down 9 different times and play basketball with my son in my advanced age. I'm normally the oldest guy on the court. Not only the oldest guy on the court, a lot of times I'm the oldest guy in the gym. And I've been blessed to be able to play not only with Daniel, but with 11 other young men, young Christian men. I've had a great relationship between all of us, a great camaraderie. We had a great game last game. We lost a game, But we were playing a team that we lost to by 30 points early in the season, and we lost to by 30, 3 points the next game. So we were very happy and stuff. But I want to tell you something. One of those fellas, his name is Nate as well. He came up, and he knows that I travel back to home on Friday. He took me by the shoulders. He looked me in the eye. And he said, "Murray, you know, after this season ends, you must come and visit us." What a great blessing to be with those young men. We have great personal relationships to enjoy. But you know what? As a Christian, we have even greater relationships with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it all starts when we become a Christian. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Starting in verse 18. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations.'" Notice how you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What a blessing to have a personal relationship with God. What a blessing. This morning, the question I ask, how about you? How about you? If you're not a Christian this morning, you know what? God wants a personal relationship with you. Let me show you a couple of verses on that. John 14. John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." John 17, starting in verse 20. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me." The last verse this morning, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Maybe you're a Christian this morning and you haven't lived in a way that reflects the joy of a Christian. Or maybe you've forgotten the blessings that come as a Christian. Maybe this lesson will help remind you what a great blessing it is to be a Christian. Or maybe you're not a Christian and you need to repent of your sins and be baptized so those sins are washed away. Why am I a Christian? Hopefully next time we can talk about some more reasons why I'm a Christian. If we can help you now, please come forward while we stand and sing.